When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Happy Red Friday, happy holidays, Merry Christmas with the sweet sexual sounds of Bill Brooks.
How about that? That's a holiday wish right there. It's a Christmas miracle, baby.
We give, we do not take. We present the presents, and today's present so far is Bill Brooks. Later on, you'll get your other gift of Mitch Holtis. But until then, you get the sweet sounds of our voices breaking down this Houston. Or is it Houston?
Houston. Yeah. Or, and if you're in New York, it's Houston Street, so you could call them Houston, you can call them Houston, you can call them Houston. It doesn't matter, whatever you want to use. I like the term, you know what I like to call them? Losers.
Mm.
Because these two franchises that are going to meet on Saturday, tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's the big game, right? These two franchises are going to meet on Saturday, kind of diverged in that game that the Chiefs came back from 24-0. It really became like one team went left, one team went right, one team conquered the world, and the other had the world conquer them. And I think that playoff game in 2019, I guess it was now, January of 2020, that playoff game, I think, really determined the future of these two franchises. You know, it was supposed to be Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes for the rest of time.
Watson,
and
yes!
Obviously, as we know how that game played out, Watson soon gone out of Texas. They fired their coach. They moved on. They haven't been good. They finally rebounded. But that game, man, that game on that January day at Arrowhead Stadium, when the Chiefs came back from 24 points down, that really, really set these two franchises on separate paths. And now the Houston Texans are kind of back in the winning side of things. They're going to win that division by default. And, you know, they come in here on Saturday. But I really think that game determined the futures of both of these franchises.
Maybe. I don't know if that's what made Deshaun Watson a sicko.
Watson! Yes!
Or that guy that had a a-hole for a chin.
No, but I mean, that cost him his job, you know.
Fair, yeah. I mean, a total meltdown. But, no, I mean, it's true. I mean, this is a game against Houston that everybody had circled on their calendar. If you say you didn't, you're lying. This game in December. We all thought this was going to be the first game of the year. A lot of people thought this could be the first game of the year. That or Cincy.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was Baltimore. Some people might have had that as well. But there's a lot of nuggets that come with this game on Saturday. More out of just, like, continuing to win and maintain the possession of the one seed. But you win this game on Saturday, you're undefeated at home for the entire season,
mm-hmm.
when maybe the NFL has been its toughest in a while. It's always going to change every year. Like this year, everybody's like, oh, college football playoffs, awesome. And then it's just like me, I sit back, Miller Lite and Hanson, just wait till next year. Same thing with the NFL every year. But you go undefeated at home, first time since 2003 that they've done that.
You know, we talk about the mystique of Arrowhead and how mm-hmm. great it is. It's been 21 years since the Chiefs ran the table at home, right?
That's right.
You know, you talk about Arrowhead and how great it is, but every other team loves playing here because they don't get that kind of environment anywhere else.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, Lambeau is pretty nasty. And Pittsburgh's tough, too, because of those, you know, those iron workers or steel workers. But no, you win. You're undefeated at home. First time since 2003. You win this game. The advantage of playing on Saturday is, guess who's watching your game? Everybody in Buffalo, teammates, coaches, fans, everybody's watching.
Yep.
That adds a little bit of a nugget of pressure to Buffalo. Then they have to go win their conference game against a team that the last time they played, they only won by 3. Conference games are weird. Example A, Thursday night, look at the board, Chiefs, Raiders, Chiefs, Chargers, everything, Chiefs, Broncos. Right. Mahomes on an ankle, and the defense can show its true colors again, right? O'Minihue, Jones, Karloftis, Dana, McDuffie comes back with, you know, the pick on his resume now. Brian Cook looks like he's finally back to his normal self after almost a full year of recovering from the injury in Green Bay last year. And you're playing another playoff team. And again, we try to defend the Chiefs, whereas other people want to knock them down a peg because of, you know, they haven't shown enough. You would be undefeated at home. You would then have beaten another playoff team, which would be, I think, your seventh or eighth team that you play that's going to be in the playoff, if you count Denver and the Chargers, plus the NFC teams that you played. You'd be 14-1. You'd still have the one seed. And all of that adds up to the season where at some point somebody's going to be like, okay, enough. Respect to the respect.
Right.
14-1, undefeated at home, undefeated in their conference, one of the better conferences in the you know AFC, let alone the NFL. And yet here they are, one loss. It's to Buffalo on the road. Maybe this, at this point, puts a little bit more of that, you know, perspective of how dominant, how good the Chiefs are. Yet they're basically remaining perfect. Buffalo, you still also have to remain perfect.
Well, and I think probably we're not going to see the respect for the Chiefs come out until the postseason is finally here, because we're heading into that holiday time, right, where everything is kind of wanky from a schedule. The national media is going to be doing their thing, taking their time off, and then the Chiefs play on Saturday, and then there's a whole slate of games on Sunday. Everybody will react to that on Monday, right? Like, the Chiefs game will get lost in the national ether because they play that Saturday game, and it's the first Saturday game, and there's college football playoffs on Saturday. And you got a whole slate of NFL games on Sunday, including Buffalo at New England. And if they roll the New England Patriots, you know what they're going to say. Oh, my God, look how good Buffalo is. They went out and rolled the New England Patriots. They beat a team that's already checked out, and they may fire their coach at the end of the season, right? So that's not a good win on Sunday for Buffalo if they go out there and they blow out New England. That's you know, beating the, you know, 8-year-olds in the parking lot playing basketball as an adult. That really doesn't count. So the Chiefs got to go out there, win this game on Saturday, and everything will start to take care of itself, and go out there and just dominate this game and have fun playing this game too, because this is the last regular season home game of the season. And I know I was reading a story today and some AI generated article that said, you know, Travis Kelce's washed again. There is the possibility, and I don't know how great a possibility, but there is that possibility. This may be his last regular season home game. So I want to see Travis Kelce go out there and play like it could be his last regular season home game, much like he did against the Texans in that postseason game where they went out there and they were just epically awesome. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Like, that was the quintessential Mahomes-Travis Kelce game.
Damian Williams, halfback left side. Kelce trots in motion across the face of Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint out run pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Gargling. That's right. Yes, he was.
That was touchdown number three in the first half against the Houston Texans.
Right. Can we do that on Saturday? Can we just, like, have that stylo game?
Like, gargling?
Yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't want to gargle the sweet nectar of the end zone for the third time in the half?
I miss gargling.
And then this
I gargled last night, actually.
The Chiefs go to a knee, and that will be that. And the Kansas City Chiefs with the fourth largest comeback in NFL playoff history. Down 24-0 early in the second quarter. An onslaught of seven straight touchdowns and a field goal. And then a defense that just took the game over. Final score, Kansas City 51, Houston 31. And for the second consecutive year, the Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game right here at Andy's Acre at the 39th parallel. Our Capital Federal postgame report begins after this on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
Well, we got to cut that part
That's
out.
Right. Yeah. That's what it used to be. But yeah, that's the last time the Houston Texans were here in Kansas City. It was that playoff game. Where were you? What do you remember most? 913-586-7965. I was where Mac was. And then I came into this studio, and it was Jay Binkley and Kent Swanson. Mm-hmm. They were doing the postgame show, and I sat down and watched it, and we were sitting here because it was 24-0, right? And we're like, I looked at Binkley, I looked at Kent, and I was like, hey, so how do we attack this? You know, I'm fresh here. I've been here maybe like 2.5 years. And Binkley's like, well, to be fair, Dustin, man, it ain't over yet. And I was like, okay. And they scored.
Yeah.
And then they scored again. And I went to get up. I'm not making this up. I went to get up, and I felt these, like, grown-ass man hands push me back down, and it's Binkley. And he goes, Dustman, you don't move from that spot.
I got a PJ.
And I didn't move until it was, like, essentially over.
Yeah.
And then the greatest postgame show I've ever done outside of, like, a playoff Royals win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everybody, I mean, it was just, like, because the thing that's great about it, that it's the playoffs, so it was probably a little bit biased with the fans, nobody left.
That one guy left, didn't he?
Rob, one guy left.
Yes. Yeah, and he tried to come back
in.
Yeah,
tried to get back in.
And Carrington blasted him. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't come back in. You leave, you stay out.
But, like, it was crazy because if we all take ourselves back to what it used to be, like, this to me was the game that at that point I was done. Right, like I was done disbelieving. This was my game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your game was, what your moment was, but this was the game where, like, you know, my dad's texting me like, same story, different year, same book, different chapter.
I was covering the game. It's one of the last games I actually worked and covered out at Arrowhead. Then COVID hit, and you know, life took over, and here we sit. Now I'm going to the game on Saturday, and you know, hopefully Momo will be out there having fireball with us if she's available.
Nice.
She's more than welcome to join us at the bus.
Thanks, man.
But you know, I look at that game, and I'm like, okay, I remember the what was it, the block punt in that game, or the Daniel Sorensen
you
fake.
Al Hartman is back to take this punt from Brian Anger. Second in the league in net punting was Anger. 24-7 Houston. 8:32 to go, second quarter. That's a fake punt. They fake the right side and it's tackled short of the first down. Great play. Dirty Dan Sorensen would not be fooled. A gain of 2 on third down and 4. Dirty Dan makes the big play. Stopping the fake punt.
Anybody else feel that tickle up your back?
Right, you did, right? So I remember, like, that play, I was taking a leak. I'm not going to lie. I was in the bathroom.
Gross.
Okay, it's a punt. I'm going to go pee and get back for the offense, right? So I missed that live. I come back and everybody's losing. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I miss? I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to miss Mahomes and Kelce, you know? I'm like, all right, it's a punt situation. So I remember being in the bathroom and hearing Mitch on the speaker. I'm like, oh, my God. So I had to run back out there real fast and see what happened. But I really think that game was lost when Houston had an opportunity to put another touchdown on the board. They're up 21-0, and they kicked that field goal and went 24-0.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking at that time, boy, I think they may have just made a major mistake here. But, you know, you got more points. It's 24-0. Let's see what happens. And then after that, it was just surgical. Boom, 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 boom. Everything that could go wrong for Houston went wrong, and everything that could go right for Kansas City went right. And that's why I say that game is the turning point for both of these franchises, because after that, I don't think there was anybody. Well, I shouldn't say that because there's always somebody. But most of us just looked at it at that point in time and went, okay, 15 can win anything. It doesn't matter anytime, anywhere, any place. And he's done that. He's done the Houston game. He's done Super Bowls. Every game in the postseason that year, they were down by 10. The 13-second game. Like, all of these things, you know, that we have seen accomplished all began on that day against the Houston Texans. The ability to come back, the ability to win at all costs, the ability to take over a game. That was the quintessential game where, okay, Patrick Mahomes has arrived. And I think the whole world knew at that point in time, we effed, man, because this guy's pretty damn good.
Cold-blooded.
And a combination, Bob, you brought it up, that field goal and then the fake punt. Those two things from Bill O'Brien really opened the door.
Yeah, coaching.
Yes, coaching opened the door, and then obviously Travis and Mahomes banged it down. It was fantastic. But yeah, I remember I was watching with one of my good friends, and he is a Titans fan. I was in Nashville at the time, or I guess I was in college in Knoxville at the time. But I was the one in disbelief. I was sad. I was emotional. He was like, dude, you got Mahomes. And he was the first one to kind of be like, no.
Emotional.
Dude, I was getting emotional. It was bad. I was down bad. I was still not conditioned to believe that we could do that. And now, obviously,
well,
I would not be nervous.
At that point in time, I understand why people weren't. But after that game,
exactly.
If you still were sitting on the fence and not believing in this team, then I don't know what it was going to take. Yeah. And there are still people who feel that way. Have you seen life happen before our eyes? Like, I always go back to the 13-second game, and I'm watching it with my wife at home. And she's on the floor, literally in the fetal position, crying when they score with 13 seconds to go. And I'm sitting on the edge of the couch. We got one of those, like, extended couches with the ottoman or whatever. I'm just kind of sitting there. And I look at it, I go, what are you doing? Like, this game is not over. I'm like, have you seen this 15 before? Boom, boom, mm-hmm. Field goal, tie game. I'm like, so what'd I tell you? Mm. And like so
what'd I tell you?
If you're not believing, like,
yeah,
you got to start believing. It's that time of year. We want to believe, right? It's a big saying. Believe. Look at Macy's in New York. It says believe on the side. Believe in Patrick Mahomes. Believe in the Kansas City Chiefs. Because they're going to deliver you what you want. They've not let us down yet.
So there's...
Not once.
Well, Cincinnati AFC Championship game.
Fair.
Oh, if that's your biggest lesson, yeah. I mean, like,
well, yeah, I'm like, just playing thanks,
no,
coach.
I know, I understand. Well, they didn't lose that game to Cincinnati.
Nancy guys.
But no, I think that, I mean, again, we can bring that up all day. 913-586-7965. Where were you when that game happened? And is that the moment? Like, is that the Mahomes moment? That, like, when you were like, okay. Because then he did it against Tennessee with the run the next week. Where you're like, well, it can't get any better than this.
Oh,
the
yes,
run, Sammy Watkins over the top.
The Sammy Watkins over the top was so special. Because so I'm still a Sammy truther. I still think he was one of the best additions to this team. And I love Sammy Watkins because he was so damn reliable on third downs, man. That guy was there. He gave Patrick that veteran receiver. And then it was just such poetic justice to hit him over the top for that big play to basically seal the AFC championship. I mean, that was and being in the stadium that day as well was just unbelievable. I just go back to looking in the crowd and watching people crying and hugging and realizing, and I'm getting a little emotional. Hey, we're going to our first Super Bowl in 50 years. This is pretty damn cool, man.
But it does merit the question because we had Nate Taylor on yesterday, and he said this could be a big Chris Jones game because their offensive line is a little weak. Mm-hmm. Chiefs off a defensive line, very strong. Do you want to see a dominant performance from which duo? Chuck Aminihue and Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce.
I think, and I'm going to answer this in a different way, I think if Chuck and Chris go out there and dominate the game, you don't have to worry about Mahomes and Kelce going out there and putting up 35 points.
So your
points.
Answer would be the two defensive line?
My answer is the defense.
Because your boy Chuck's ready to play Houston.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't know this organization at all. And I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, it's definitely a fire with him. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't know this organization at all. And I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some fire with them. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't know this organization at all. And I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some fire.
It's the literally for me.
Well, the eventually.
Yeah.
I eventually can't wait to play these guys. Here we go. The day is here. What is Charles Aminihue going to do? I feel like he could be the unsung hero, if you will, the difference maker in this game. The guy that nobody's talking about who's going to step up big. Like,
is that Dracula?
I want to suck your blood, Houston. You know. So I think Charles Aminihue's going to play big, man. When you hear stuff like that, and you play your former team and you're motivated and there's a little bit more at stake and it's late in the season and Charles hasn't played all that much this year, obviously, because of the injury, but this will be his third game back. He's got the rust knocked off. You're playing against a depleted offensive line in the Houston Texans. This could be Charles Aminihue's day to shine, where we look back on this game and say, this is why he got a contract extension in the offseason. This is the game that they're bringing Charles Aminihue back because of. And if he plays well, that means 95 plays well. And since he's been back, you know who else has been playing
56.
Well? 56 has been kicking some ass since Charles Aminihue has come back. Let's go, baby. I got goosebumps because I love defensive football and I want to just slobber knocker these quarterbacks on Sunday, Saturday, whatever day it is.
You want some more?
Yeah.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes and it definitely has their struggles, but, you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D-line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision.
Nah, we're going to take Saturday.
I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
No threats, just promises. So add that to your Omenihue take, and maybe you'll see a guy go absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Tim Settle was the guy's name who said that.
Yeah. 913-586-7965. Where were you? Or what do you, you know, was that the moment? Or where were you during that Houston Texans game? Somebody says, I can't believe it was Justin Reed that ran the fake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Little revenge for Justin Reed, too. True. Yeah, that's right.
Justin Reed and DeAndre Hopkins on that team.
Yep.
From the 816. I don't know why I'm laughing, but hopefully you're off to a better life. I was in federal prison in Beaumont, Texas, with hundreds of Texans fans. The look on their faces as we came back was priceless. LOL. I probably would have gone back to my cell.
Mm. So, prison in Texas. So you probably watched it with like Chiefsaholic and, you know, some.
Well, he was still out there doing his thing.
Oh, he was still free at that time. That's right.
From the 816, my 16-year-old daughter is taking me to the game tomorrow. It's my Father's Day / Christmas present this year. She's never been to an actual game, and she got club level seats for us.
That's outstanding,
that's awesome.
Man. That's a cool father daughter moment.
Daughter.
Yeah, way to
Hats
go.
Off.
That's
great
awesome,
allowance.
Man.
Yeah. That's, or you got
fun.
A really good job at 16. You enjoy that game on Saturday.
That's cool. I love it.
And great, smart gift giving, by the way. Father's Day and Christmas. Really? Two presents for one present for 2 days? We're sitting at club level. Enough said, you're my favorite child.
Yeah, and if it's a little bit cold out there, you go back inside, warm up a little bit. It's nice. Congratulations.
I was selling beer or hot chocolate in the stands, and I enjoyed watching all the Chiefs fans. Yeah, that would have been a great perspective to have.
Yeah.
That would have been a great, like, just to see all that.
Is that Detroit Derek out there schlepping beer and hot chocolate?